Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, so great that today we are celebrating 50 years as Zion Reformed Church at Menno. Which means, of course, that we are actually celebrating and giving thanks for 50 years of the Lord's faithfulness and love towards you as a congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a day that you may look back and consider the wonderful ways in the past. And this morning we have been reminded again of how very important that is. And many of you undoubtedly has been thinking these last couple of days of how it was 50 years ago, for some of you maybe 25 years ago, but how it was and how things have changed, how many people there are then and how many people there are now, and how the Lord has through everything been with you. But it's not only a day that we may look back at the past, it is also a day in which we may look forward and consider what we may expect in the future. This is of course true. We are not able to look into the future and don't tell exactly what's going to happen. But based upon what has been happening and what's happening now, we people like to make our predictions. Why? Because we as people want to be as best as we can to be prepared for the future, what the future may bring us. We like to know what's coming. And we can see that almost every day in the news. Based upon what's going on in the world, there are always those very knowledgeable and experienced experts who will do their best to forecast what we may expect in the world, abroad, but also about the economy and all those things. And sometimes they are right, and sometimes not, for even the most knowledgeable among men are still men and fallible. But we still like to hear what we have to say. Well, at the same time, we do realize that only the Lord knows for sure. And this then, being true, this afternoon, should see if the Lord has said anything about what will happen in the future, especially about his church. And he did have to say quite a bit about that. It was quite a long time ago, but what he then said still holds true. The Lord did tell us in Matthew 24 and in Luke 21 what will take place in the last days. Now, the last days in the Bible is the time before his return. The last days, that is the days that begin with the Lord Jesus Christ's ascension into heaven, and that will end on the day that he returns upon the clouds of heaven to judge the living and the dead. So those are the last days. And about those last days, the Lord Jesus said that in that time before his return, he said, many will come in my name and say, I am the Christ, and they will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. And then he said, see that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For, he went on, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in various places. All these things, he said, at the beginning of sorrows. And then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, meaning many will fall away. And they will betray one another. And they will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And then later, in the same chapter, he said that people will be living as in the days of Noah, before the flood. And that was a time that people were living very selfishly and self-serving. And the Holy Spirit, by the pen of the Apostle Paul, drives that home, because in 2 Timothy 3 we read that men in those last days that we live, they'll be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of good, having a form of godliness, denying its power. What a long list. And how accurate a picture of the days in which we live. How accurate a picture of the society in which we must be a light. And so if you don't listen to all this about the future, you would say there is not much room for optimism regarding the future of a faithful church, and not for faithful Christians either. So, what should we do on this day? This day of celebration. Should we now be terrified for the future? Should we now go into that future to begin with, with pessimistic anticipation that nothing good will happen anyway? Should we just basically crawl into a corner by ourselves and hide away from it all? Should we do that? No. Brothers and sisters, no. We should not do any of this. And now, why not? We should not be terrified, we should not be pessimistic, and we should not hide. Now, the answer of why not, we find exactly in our psalm of this afternoon, Psalm 93. You see, for us who live in a world which is so angry, so very much in uproar, so very much like the Apostle Paul, the Lord Jesus and the Apostle Paul described it, it is so very important that we are reminded that this world is not out of control, but that it is ruled by God's almighty hand. That's the message of Psalm 93. There's a message for the future. And now Psalm 93 is not just a psalm, but it is also very much a prophecy. Many faithful interpreters of the Psalms agree that it is a prophecy that points to the time and the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Even many of the Jewish commentators agree with it, but they are still waiting for Jesus Christ, of course. But they agree that it is a prophecy about the kingdom of Christ, of which we are a part. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Matthew 28, verse 18, "All authority have been given unto me on heaven and on earth." And that's exactly what has been prophesied in our psalm. And we look at our psalm, and the first thing that we read is, "The Lord reigns." Those are the words, the very first words, and it's at the same time the main message of this beautiful psalm. The Lord reigns. And this is, brothers and sisters, in the Lord, what we must always remember. The Lord reigns. That's what we must say to each other. When we see those dark clouds of opposition against the Lord and against His church gathering above us. The Lord reigns. Those dark clouds of opposition are completely in control of His mighty hand. So the Lord reigns. And His reign is glorious. That's what we learn from our psalm, because it says He is clothed in majesty. Note that it does not say He is clothed majestically. No, majesty is that very robe. And we read about that majesty in Revelation 1. That's why I wanted to read that as a scripture reading. That we have just an idea of who is ruling us. It's clothed with majesty. As he saw in Revelation 1. And in the chapter we saw the Apostle John as if we're falling as dead at his feet. Now, if John, the Lord's beloved apostle, how much more will his and our enemies fear that majesty of the one who reigns? The Lord reigns. His majesty is the splendor of his awesome holiness. is a majesty for which mountains tremble and nations melt away. After the Lord drowned Pharaoh and all his hosts in the Red Sea, the chapter we read this morning, Moses led the Lord's people in song. He also saw it this morning. But in that song, he said this about the Lord's majesty. He says, in the greatness of your excellency, or in the greatness of your majesty, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath, it consumed them like stubble. That's how powerful the majesty is of our Lord who reigns. And then the psalm continues, and we learn that the Lord also reigns very powerfully. Because it goes on and said, the Lord is clothed, he has girded himself with strength. You see, he, our Lord, is the very source of all strength, of all power, of all authority. Without him, there would be not such a thing as strength or power or authority in our whole world. He is the very source of it. There's no creature which do not derive its strength from him. All authority comes from him. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. By his mighty hand, he raises up one nation. He throws down another. By his strength, he gathers his people from the ends of the earth. And by his might, he upholds his church in the world, which already for thousands of years have been trying to destroy it. By his strength, he will make each and every one of you, his people, a part of his glorious and complete victory. The Lord has girded himself with strength. And then the psalm goes on, surely the world is established and it cannot be moved. That's because the Lord has girded himself with strength. This world cannot be moved. It's his. And we all know that the powers in this world have been able to make mighty and mighty powerful weapons. Powerful enough to destroy this world a couple times over. And what's worse, people of this world are foolish and evil enough to do it too. But the Lord, he uses just a little of his strength, and by it he restrains them. For us. He does that for us. He restrains them. He curbs his evil. And he directs the nations of the world so that they fear each other and that they restrain each other. That's because of his strength. You see, without his will, they cannot so much as move. And when they move, it is only according to his rule. It is because of him, our Almighty Lord, that we may say with the psalm, surely the world is established, it cannot be moved. And we turn our faces upwards in adoration of him and in confidence in him. And we continue with our psalm, your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. The Lord reigns, and the Lord has always reigned. He reigned already in eternity before the creation of the world, and he will reign always. Even after this world will not exist anymore. Brothers and sisters, it is true. Humanly speaking, the opposition of Satan and the world against the Lord and against us, his people, is rapidly increasing in our time. And it may sometimes make us worry. Is there still, you could ask yourself, a country in the world but Christianity is welcome and appreciated? And the answer is yes, there are, but not many of them. Of the 195 nations in the world, Christians face some form of discrimination or persecution in 139 of them. Christianity is not popular in this world. It's not a nice picture. But we, the Lord's people, must not become desperate. We need not to lose hope, for the Lord reigns. And he made a covenant with us, his people. I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And then he says to his people in Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand. That's what he says to us already in Isaiah 41, verse 10. Now, does this mean that the devil and the world are not able to hurt us at all? No, it doesn't mean that at all. And we just have to just bring to mind what's happening in the Middle East, North Korea, China, to see that the world is able to hurt the Lord's people. So yes, in the future we may have to face hardships. We may have, so to speak, passed through waters. But the Lord has promised to be with us. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4 how he experienced this. Going through hardship, but have the Lord with you. And then he writes, we are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Yes, in the future, as a church, as a faithful church in the United States, in North America, also in Canada, we may have to, so to speak, to wade through raging rivers. But the Lord has promised that they shall not overwhelm us. We may have to walk through fire and flame, but he has promised that it will not consume us. For through it all, he will be with us, and we will arrive at that place that he is preparing for us. There's no world that can stop that, not Satan either. So also today, on this very special anniversary Sunday, we may look at this world in turmoil and we may say to each other, the Lord reigns. He is clothed in majesty, the Lord is clothed, he has girded himself with strength. And we may lift up our heads and our hearts to heaven, where he sits upon his throne, and adore him time and again and say, your throne is established from of old. You are from everlasting. But in the meantime then, it remains true that this world is making itself ripe for judgment and is quite a hurry about it. Godlessness increases, intolerance, hostility, and cruelty against God's people grows at an alarming rate. And so, look at this. That's not just out in the world there, that's also here in the United States. And so it should be coming more and more a wonder of God's grace to us that we here this afternoon may be together in safety, and worship the Lord and celebrate his faithfulness freely and without fear. That's because our Lord reigns. But it's true, it is not everywhere that way. And it is not going to stay like that in North America either. Daily we can actually see happening the things that we read in Psalm 2. That the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers of the take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let's break the bonds and the pieces cast away. The courts from us. The nations everywhere are raging. The morals, the Christian morals, so long been really guiding this country, are being despised. So yeah, dark clouds are forming. So true, but we also read in Psalm 93, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. Actually, it says the floods lead of the crossing waves. It's often in the Bible the raging of the nations, of the enemies of God, of the Lord and his people, is compared to the raging of mighty waters, the roaring of the waves of the sea, and it's such a fitting comparison. I grew up in the Netherlands, very close to the ocean, and then often I stood out on the seashore, and I loved to go there when a storm would come out of the sea. And you could see the waves coming higher and higher, raising itself up, storming towards the beaches, and then finally falling over and in a thundering crash fell upon the beach, upon the shore, trying just to swallow up the land. And that goes on year after year, century after century. And in the same way, as the ocean of the nations attempted to swallow up God's church century after century. And at the time it seemed as if it succeeded. And in our time, it continues with increasing fierceness. But the Lord, He is mighty. That's how the psalm continues. The Lord, He is mighty. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. We read in Psalm 46. He is our refuge and our strength, our very present help in trouble. And therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be moved, though the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea, even though its waters roar and be troubled, the mountains shake at its running. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. That's so literally true, brothers and sisters. And the Lord Jesus, while He walked upon this earth, showed this. You can read the story in Mark 4. There are disciples in fear of being swallowed up by the waves, cry out, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" They were so in panic. The water was filling the boat, and the waves are becoming higher and higher to swallow them up. And now just listen to this. Then we read, "And then He arose, and He rebuked the wind, and He said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." Now, maybe not right away, but the disciples made the connection. And we can see that as we later on, they seem to go out and preach the gospel fearlessly and face the raging waters and the deadly schemes of Satan and the hostility of the world. So the disciples, eventually they got it. They got the meaning of what happened there on that lake. They understood, the Lord on high is mightier. Now the question this afternoon, brothers and sisters, young people, is, do you get it too? The Lord reigns. The Lord on high is mightier. You see, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is still mightier than the noise of many waters, mightier than the waves of the sea, no matter how high, how loud, or how threatening. For over its roaring, you hear His abiding promise, "I will be with you until the end of the age. I will never leave you or forsake you. I have engraved you upon the palms of my hand." He is mighty also over the floods and the waves of the nations of today, and also of those of the future. Those who are now threatening to swallow up the Lord's people, the Lord's church today, are but instruments in His hand, instruments whereby He drives Satan and his wicked world to the final judgment and destiny. And so we may say, with the words of another psalm, "Come behold the works of the Lord." What happened in this world? Watch it. They are the work of the Lord. He reigns. So come behold the works of the Lord. Who has made the desolations in the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." We have the promises of our almighty God. And those promises are sure. That is what we are assured of in verse 5 of our Psalms. It says, "Your testimonies," we may also read, "your promises are very sure." And this we know. We know that they are very sure. Not that long ago, we all celebrated Easter. And we celebrated the fulfillment of the testimonies, the promises of the Messiah, who would come to deliver us, His people, from the power of sin and death. All those promises were kept, because the Lord's testimony is very sure. And so today we may celebrate the 50th anniversary of you, Zion Reformed Church. 50 years of the Lord's reign here. The Lord's faithfulness to you. And from within and from without, Satan has also assaulted and destroyed you too. There have been those times. There are difficult times also for this church. But you see, the Lord's testimonies, the Lord's promises are very sure. So according to the sure promise of our Lord, our Savior, he came into the world to save us, his people. According to his sure promises, he will come again. And then Satan's head, he will cross. And this world will be judged. And he will come. And he is our hope for the future. And you may count on him. Because his testimonies are very sure. Satan in the meantime knows that he has a very short time left. And he is prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. He will stir up the nations against the Lord and against his church, but it will not help him. The Lord reigns, and the Lord's promises will be fulfilled. His testimony stands as secure as his throne, which is established as from old. And so in the future, Satan and the world will continue to launch attack after attack, just as the waves cast themselves upon the seashore. They will not prevail. Not only because of the Lord's trustworthy decrees and the Lord's power, but also for the sake of the holiness which adorns his house, we read in our psalm. For the sake of the holiness which adorns his house. And with this, our psalm concludes. Holiness adorns your house, O Lord, forever. In the time that this psalm was written, the holiness of the temple, of God's house, was considered unassailable. It was sacred, because the Lord himself dwelt there, and he would never allow his house to be violated or to be assaulted. In our time, the Lord's house is his church, is you. And we read Revelation 1. And we saw him, our majestic Lord, standing in the midst of the golden lampstands, which are the seven churches. But the seven churches are representing the church of the Lord Jesus Christ of all times and all places, also you. Stand there in his full majesty, defending you, preserving you. In his splendid majesty, in his awesome holiness, he dwells in his house, his church. And therefore the gates of hell shall not ever prevail against it. Its holiness is guaranteed, its victory secure forevermore. And so at his 50th anniversary, while we see the scheming of Satan, and while we hear the clamoring of this world, while its flood lift up their voice, and its crushing waters roar, we may look up and we may say to each other, the Lord reigns. He is clothed in majesty. The Lord is clothed. He has girded himself with strength. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the many mighty waves of the sea. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord reigns, and therefore we have such a sure and an awesome future. Amen.